Brother Rose, final message for the conference this year, and you come and preach to us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Howdy, brethren. How many glad to be here? I'll tell you, if there is anything that makes me jealous, it's to have missionaries that preach and sing. I think when we get to heaven, the Lord's going to line them all up, and he's going to tune up my vocal cords and let me sing to them one time. But thank you so much. Thank you for the slide presentation, too, Brother Pat. I don't know how you pronounce all those names, tell you the truth. You had that was something else. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me come. We're grateful for the privilege of being here. I mean, it's a real honor. One of the great churches that I have an opportunity to go to, and I appreciate it. Appreciate your pastor. He's God's man and sincerely loves souls around the world, and we appreciate him from the very depths of our hearts. We thank you for coming. Some of you have been here every night, and I appreciate that. As well as others, God bless you for your faithfulness and your coming nightly. And thank you for all the music, the meals, even tonight. That was so great tonight. Amen? Amen? Don't go to sleep on me. I know you're full. I think I ate butter beans till I was about to choke, but you pray that I'll get through it and you get through it and we'll be blessed. It's been a real joy to be here. I'm grateful for the accommodations, the meals, and everything that's been done for us. It's just outstanding, and I appreciate it. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Would you stand with me, please? I appreciate the missionaries that have come. God bless you. Great, great families. You can tell they have the touch of God upon them, and we're grateful for their presence that have added so much to this meeting. Even their happy birthday song I thought was great. Let's pray, and then I'm going to read verse 1 through 6. But keep your Bible open. Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you're doing here at Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church. Thank you for the people. Thank you for the hospitality. Thank you for the kindness. Thank you for the way that they pay attention. Thank you for the missionaries that are here. We are grateful. Thank you for the noble pastor. God bless him. What a blessing he is. And Father, not only to his church, but to many across the land, bless him and help him. Give him many more years. Now, Lord, as we approach thy word this last time of this meeting, may your hand be upon me. May I be filled with thy spirit. May Christ be lifted up as we read the word and as we study the word. For Jesus' sake we pray. We ask it all. And Lord, please give us above $2,000 a week. We pray this earnestly and sincerely in Jesus' name. Amen. Still standing, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them, together. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to bring a message this evening on this subject, worship. Worship. You notice in verse 5, the first time that it's mentioned in the Bible, and Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, when you find something in the Bible for the first time, that is a snapshot of what it is. Then the Bible amplifies it even further throughout the Scriptures. So what we have here tonight is a story about worship. I believe that too many have not even stopped to study what worship means and what it is. Traditionally, we call our Sunday morning services worship service. Vance Havner said too many churches' services start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull. That's about the truth most of the time. We have some that believe in formal worship. We have others like myself that believe in informal worship. But neighbor, you can go through the actions formally or informally and not do it. Now, Abraham teaches us in this first mention in the Bible of worship what worship is. Firstly, worship is giving God praise and praising Him. Look in verse 2. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. A burnt offering was never an offering for sin. It was an offering exclusively unto the Lord. A burnt offering was worship. And it was praise to the Lord. We ought to praise Him, amen or not? We ought to live in the attitude and even in the words of praising God constantly. Praise should be the center part of our prayer life. In private prayer. By the way, I was teaching in Brazil the so-called Lord's Prayer. And the first thing that we find there is praise to the Lord. That changed my prayer life. In private prayer for the first 30 minutes, I don't ask anything. I just praise Him. I just bless Him. And then later on, I ask for things. Prayer should be praising God, thanking God, blessing His name. Prayer, praise should be the keynote of our whole life. We should praise him for everything he's done for us. His mercy, his goodness. I think of Job as he was, had been suffered so much in chapter 1 and verse 21, and stunned and maybe staggering under the weight of tremendous burden. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Then I believe there was a silence. And two worlds stood by to hear what this dear man of God would say. At the grave of 10 of his children, having been smitten physically, then we listen to him as he catches his breath and says, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's worship. That's worship. Our Lord, the night before his death, gave thanks unto the Father. Now I believe that worship is thanking him, blessing him, honoring him, glorifying him in our services. Secondly, are you with me out there? You haven't gone to sleep yet. Okay, don't do that. Worship is obedience. Look in verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Nobody worships God that is not obedient unto him. God's called Abraham in verse 1. And Abraham said, behold, here I am. That's not like a child saying present in a class. No, no. When he said, behold, here I am, that meant I'm ready to do anything you want me to do. I'm available to do what you want me to do. You command me, I'll do it. By the way, an obedient heart learns to hear the voice of God about this matter of faith promise giving. Hey, folks, it takes prayer. And it takes a walk with the Lord so that he can speak to our hearts and we can hear exactly what he's saying to our hearts. God's very specific about what he commands Abraham. He said, first of all, I want you to take one member of your family. Who is it? Verse 2 again, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham, only one member of your family will do for this worship. Isaac. He's the one. He's the only one. Now, as a father, I think that Abraham, and I can understand this, would have been willing to say, Lord, take me. Let this happen to me and not to my son Isaac. But God said no. There's only one member of this family that I want, and that's Isaac. You know, sometimes people try to make a deal with God, and I preached about that the first night. But there's no substitute for what God wants, amen or not. There's no substitute. When God says, I want that person, then it's that person. There's no substituting. And God kind of makes Abraham feel the sharpness of the sword as it goes in. Notice how he says, thy son. Then he pushes the dagger in a little bit further. Thine only son, Isaac. And then a little bit further, whom thou lovest. God is asking for that which means the most to Abraham outside of God and maybe Sarah, his wife. That which is most important to Abraham, God puts his finger on that and said, I want him. Now, God was asking for Abraham's best. His son Isaac. He not only said there's only one member that will suffice, but he said there's only one mountain that would do. Get thee into the land of Moriah. He said there in verse 2, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham may have thought, Lord, Moriah is a good ways from here. Why? That long trip, isn't there a closer mountain? And God said, no. You're going to be obedient to me. Take Isaac and go to the mountain that I tell thee of. This is putting God first. Only one mountain. And get thee. I like that. Get thee. I was preaching sometimes the regular Baptist folks in the big city of São Paulo, had asked me to come in and preach on missions 1 week, and they, these are Brazilian people and American missionaries, and they had a man from the States called Frederick Pentecost. How many have ever seen the book Things to Come by Dwight Pentecost? Raise your hand if you're. Well, this is his brother. He was in Brazil visiting, and he preached one morning, and it smote me what he said, and it struck me. He said this, I quote, I don't believe that missions depends upon the local church for survival. Well, the minute he said that, I thought, oh my, he's lost me here. Great man, but I can't go along with this. But then he said this, and I think he can go along with this. But the church depends on missions for its survival. Did you get that? The church depends on missions for its survival. I thought, what a tremendous statement. Shocks you at first and then gets some truth into you. Not only one member would do, not only one mountain would do, but only one method would do. I want Isaac, your son, as a burnt offering. Now, if you study the Word of God, you'll read what a burnt offering is. Leviticus 1, the throat of an animal was cut, the blood was drained, the body was divided, the fat was taken out of that animal and placed upon the altar on top of the animal, and that gave fuel to the fire until that animal was burned. Now, are you getting this? God is not just telling his servant to take his son and take his life, but he's saying, I want you to cut his throat. I want you to dismember him. I want you to cut him open and take the fat out and place it on top of him on the altar. That's what I want, the only method. Why is God so specific? Because, neighbors, God must have complete obedience. Absolute obedience. Total commitment. Now look at verse 3. This is amazing. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Being human, not knowing what I'd do if God told me to take the life of my son the next day, I'd probably want to sleep as long as I could. And then I'd probably have to go here and there before the trip. But Abraham rose up early to get at this thing, to do what God wanted him to do. You see, folks, God's commands are not to be discussed. They're to be obeyed. There was absolutely no opposition on Abraham's part. There was none. He said, "Here I am. I'm ready to do anything you want." He not only rose up early in the morning, but he also went to the very place where God told him. I don't know what you think, but I don't think he was jumping with joy. I don't think there was any excitement like we've had tonight. I don't imagine there was any emotion, some kind of emotion outburst, praising God and saying hallelujah. Probably not. I believe that they went those 3 days. And Abraham's with a broken heart. Abraham's dreading this. But hey, when God says do it, he means for us to do it. Worship is obedience. Will you worship him this evening? 3 emperors were together one time discussing the loyalty and the faithfulness of their servants. One was an Australian emperor. Another was an Iranian emperor. And another was a Russian emperor. They were in a building way up high. And the Australian emperor said, "Watch this." He called for one of his servants. And he came and saluted his emperor. And his emperor said, "I want you to jump out that window." He took a step backward and said, "Sir, I'll be killed. I'll die." His emperor said, "Leave the room. You disgrace your emperor." Their Iranian emperor called one of his men to show how disciplined he was and told him, "I want you to go and jump out that window." He went and looked down. He said, "Sir, if you really want me to, I will." The emperor said, "Please leave my presence. You've disgraced me." The Russian monarch called one of his men in. As he stepped through the door, he said, "I want you to go and jump out that window." And without hesitating, without stopping, he went over, put one leg out the window, and started to lance himself down. And his emperor cried out, "Wait! I don't want you dead. I want you obedient." And God doesn't want Isaac, really. He wants obedience from Abraham. That's what he's after. Complete obedience. Well, number three. Are you with me? Worship is giving to God something that means a lot to you. I think in 1 Samuel, where Hannah she was unable to have children, and she wept and cried and begged God, and God saw fit to give her a child. But when that child was weaned, she took him to the temple and left him there. Now you mothers think about this. Taking a child that's just been weaned and leaving him in the temple. She was giving to God something that meant so much to her. God asked for Abraham's only son. Oh yes, there was Ishmael, but in God's economy, Isaac was the only son. He was the son of promise. He was the delight in Abraham's eyes. And yet God said, I want him. Look at verse 9. And came to the place where God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now he bound Isaac, not because Isaac was unwilling. Some feel and most feel that Isaac was probably 20 years of age and could have overthrown his more than 100-year-old dad. But no, he laid down on that altar. But God said, bind him on that altar. And it's to speak to you and I. You and I are to be bound on the altar. We are not to get off and on, but we are once and for all to give ourselves completely to God and be bound on the altar. Now look what happened, verse 11 and 12. And the angel of the Lord called on, verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I hope you could get this in your mind's eye. Sam, would you help me now, son? Just imagine this is Isaac. Would you just lay on that bench, please? He's on the altar. And here's his dad. His hands trembling. Tears are dripping down his cheek. That knife is glittering from the light of the sun. He looks down at his son as if to say, I'm sorry. He points that knife right at his throat. And just as he starts to run it into Isaac's throat, God says, Abraham! Abraham! Look there. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Oh, when he said, here am I, it's the same. Lord, just tell me. He's my son, my only son, and I love him so much. But you give the command, and the knife will go through his throat. And then I'll dismember him. I'll cut the fat out of his body and place it on top of him so that it'll feed the fire. Here, my Lord, whatever you say, I'll do. Verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do the anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You can put up the knife, Abraham. I know that now you fear God. Thank you, Sam. Thank you so much. God wants to know that we're obedient. He only goes by proof, not by what we say. He only goes by proof, not by our profession. God wants us to be willing to give our very best, to give our Isaac unto the Lord. How many of you have a child? Would you raise your hand? In a little while, I'm going to ask you to give him unto the Lord. And you're going to prove whether you're obedient or not to God, not to this preacher, if you're willing to bring your son to an altar, your daughter, and say, Lord, here they are. They're yours. Whatever you want done with them, they're yours. And by the way, while you're at it, give yourself to the Lord. I was up in Swannanoa Heights Baptist Church years ago, and I was preaching for a pastor named B.B. Boyle, and Brother B.B., my son-in-law, which is a missionary in Brazil also, he was with me. And B.B. said, my wife has just had a baby girl, and she's coming home from the hospital, and I want you and Milton to go to the house. And he said, I want you to pray that God will call my daughter to be a missionary. Hey, folks, you don't find many parents like that. Hey, I've traveled around. You don't find many like that. We went up to Brother BB's house. There was his wife, that sweet little red-headed girl. And Milton and I put our hands on that little girl and said, Lord, their parents want to give this daughter to you for missions. Please take her. Please use her. And I wrote her name on my prayer list and prayed for Rachel Boyle and prayed. Years passed, and I would come home on furlough, and all of a sudden I would see somebody, and I would ask, where is Rachel at? And they said, she's a fine young lady. She's at Crown College. And I thought, glory to God. Maybe God's going to answer this prayer. I kept praying. At that time, my prayer list wasn't separated from my Bible. I had a kind of a Bible with many, many white pages at the end. And I was up in Connecticut preaching, and there was a young man. First, I met him out in Arizona. His name was Danny Foss. And Danny stood and said, would you pray that God would give me a wife? Then I was up in Connecticut preaching. And oh, Danny came up with a beautiful red-headed lady and said, this is my new wife. And I said, what was your name? I hadn't seen her since she was an infant. She said, my name was Rachel Boyle. And I said, I've been praying for you, Rach. And I showed them the prayer list. And Danny said, hey, somebody come get a picture. And they stood one on each side with my open Bible and my finger on that prayer. That God answered prayer because a dad and mother said, Lord, here they are. Here they are. Then God wants us to be obedient about our substance, our things. We had built the church and we were building a building right across the street. And our people were so liberal and so giving in Brazil. And I asked him, I said, please pray that God will give us money to build that building across the street, which became a Bible Institute and is now a Christian day school with over 200 kids. And I said, pray that God will give us the money. And I'll never forget one Sunday morning, one of our men knelt at the altar. There wasn't an altar call. He came from the street and went right down to the altar. And he put his keys down on the altar. And I got down beside him and I said, Jose, what's the matter? He said, God is leading me to give my car for the building. Now, boy, that meant a lot. Very few of our people had cars. Now, so many do have cars, but very few. I said, Jose, your daughter's sick. You may need that car. He said, Pastor, God's leading me. And he did what God told him to do. And then at that same service, walking out, I was shaking hands with our people. And one of our young ladies, which is a missionary now, she slipped off her class ring. This is my class ring. She slipped off her class ring. And she said, Pastor, I want to give this ring to help in the building. I couldn't take it. I said, Musa, I can't. Her name was Musa. I said, Musa, I can't. You've worked so hard, graduate from college, and I can't. And she smiled so sweetly and said, but Pastor, I'm not giving it to you. I'm giving it to Jesus Christ. Thank God someone redeemed that ring for her. And put what they thought it was worth for the building. At another time, I had been in the extreme south preaching a revival meeting. And on a Thursday, I had been in contact with one of our missionaries. And I've told you about him this week. He was in the Yanomami tribe. And he had been writing me and saying, Pastor, I'm very sick. I don't know what's the matter. And he said, I don't know. I can't get any treatment. And they finally evacuated him out of the tribe. Wings of Hope evacuated him out of the tribe. And the army brought him down to the big city of São Paulo and he went to put in the hospital. And his wife called my wife and she said, Legia was her name. She said, Nancy, Sister Nancy, Paulo's dying of acute leukemia and he wants the pastor to come. My wife said, Sister Legia, he's way down south. I'll do the best I can to find him and locate him. But I have no telephone where he's preaching. And said, please do the best you can. My wife promised she would. And my wife called everyone she thought would come and be kind enough to come and tell me. And it took her until Sunday. Finally, Someone came and told me that Paulo Korinchuki was dying in the hospital in São Paulo. And he wants you to come. Your wife wants you to call. And I went to a public phone place and I called my wife, and she said, honey, Paulo's dying and he wants you to come. And I said, well, I'll just finish the meeting tonight and I'll catch the late bus. But it took me 24 hours bus ride into the big city of São Paulo. And I got in there about Tuesday. And I checked my bags and I went over to the, caught a cab and went over to the hospital. And I walked in and there was a person that would tell you the rooms. And I said, I'm here to see Paulo Korinchuki. The lady bowed her head and said, sir, he died Saturday. They had to bury him within 24 hours. No embalming. They buried him on Sunday. Oh, my heart was broken. I went back to the bus station and caught another bus and a six-hour ride home. No, 4.5 hours. Now I went to the church on a Wednesday night and I said, Paulo has gone to heaven. And I want to raise an offering for Paulo Korinchuki. You people get paid monthly, not weekly. But I want you to do your best. I want you to raise an offering for Paulo Korinchuki. And one of our young ladies, just a young lady in her 20s, she walked up to me and she said, Pastor, I've just gotten paid for this month. She signed the check. She said, I want it all to go to the widow of Paulo Korinchuki. I talked to Legia, his wife. We sent the offering. Legia said that he had won two doctors to the Lord on his deathbed and some nurses to the Lord. And said the whole hospital, now get this, said the doorkeeper at the hospital was sending out to try to find Bibles and buy Bibles to find out how a man can die like that. But I was so proud of our people giving an offering that was amazing to me. Worship is giving God the burnt offering. Praise, it's obedience. It's giving to God something that means a lot to you. And lastly, worship is faith. Look at verse 5 again, will you please? And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And what? And what? Oh, yes. You see, we don't understand it in the English. And it's no different in the Portuguese, except it uses the plural. I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and I and the lad will come again. We'll come again. That's exactly what he's saying. Faith triumphed over Abraham's natural affections. Faith didn't take away his tender feeling for Isaac. But faith put its hands on the impossible. No one had ever been raised from the dead. And according to Hebrews 11, Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. My, what faith! No one had ever seen anything like that. And yet Abraham said, yes, we're going yonder. We're going to worship. I'm going to have to cut his throat. But God will take those ashes and restore him to life again. Glory to God. What faith! What faith? God help us. Abraham's faith believed God would raise him from the dead. God told Abraham, "Now I know that you fear God." It was demonstrated. God wants to see the evidence. He saw a good bit of evidence, I believe, this morning. Don't you think? God wants to see the rest of the evidence. And by the way, Hannah gave her child and she was barren. And she conceived and bare Samuel. But you read over a couple of chapters, God gave her three more boys and two girls for dessert. Amen. Three boys to take Samuel's place and two girls is to place in there for dessert. God will do it. Let's worship Him tonight. I'm going to ask parents to bring your children to an old-fashioned altar, and if they're not here, bring them in your heart and say, "Lord, here they are." That's worship. It's not just singing a song. It's not just praising Him. Now, this is something that I believe that God wants every parent in this room to do. I'm not saying God's going to call them to be a missionary like Rachel Foss now. But you just place them on the altar and let God take care of that. Would you pray with me? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want you dads and moms to grab the hand of your child and bring them down and say, "Lord, here they are. Here they are. We're going to place them on the altar." And God bless these dear missionaries. God bless. God, I knew they would come. Come on, dads and moms. That's right. Just give them to God. Just give them to God. Just give them to God. That's right. God bless you. God bless you.